call the Public Works Committee meeting for Tuesday, September 17th, 2024, at 6 p.m. We have in person Alderman Cornelius, Alderman Sullivan, Alderman Koch, and then we have Alderman Merrick on Zoom and staff. I see no citizen comments, so we'll move on to minutes for correction approval from August 20th, 2024. Good?
Good.
Good, Matt?
Good.
Okay.
Good.
On to new business. Item one, PW 2024-73, 2025 Road to Better Roads Program paving plan update.
All right, so the past several years, we've been bringing our recommendation for the following year's program, next year's program, to you at this time frame, so typically in September. And basically, the plan would be to move forward with design as soon as practical, and then be prepared to possibly bid the work early on in 2025. Typically, that's the best time to bid those projects, take advantage of an aggressive bidding market. So we put together a plan for 2025, and just a reminder that this is the last year before we'll have an updated project management plan. That process is underway, the data has been collected, and we anticipate bringing forth a new five-year plan recommendation probably in the January, February timeframe. So, at least tentatively, it had been planned to not only include the kind of the more traditional Road to Better Roads program, which does include MFP funding, but also on top of that, additional funding like we're doing this year to tackle some of that subdivision work. So we are anticipating two separate contracts for next year as well. So within the packet is the recommendation on page 13 of the PDF. Would basically
recording in progress.
Be the graphic indicating the areas that are targeted. I'll just hit the highlights. Bristol Bay would be the large subdivision to the north that would be targeted, along with hitting Water Park Way, and then moving to the south, Prairie Meadows, which is also has been targeted here to pave, and then we would finish off the rest of Heartland, which is a substantial amount of work. And then there's some money that we need to budget kind of in conjunction with the water main replacement program that is concentrated in the downtown area for next year in 2025. So sometimes we can have some funds within the water fund cover that work that's in the middle of the, if we're putting water main down the middle of the street, that's not always the case. So we're setting some money aside for that. And then on the tables itself, there's a couple other things to at least to note within the budget. So typically we set aside some money for crack sealing, and we've done that the last several years. That's good practice from a pavement management perspective, so we would recommend that. There are some concrete streets that need some attention right out close to where City Hall is. Those were installed almost 20 years ago.
Over 20 years ago.
Yep. And certainly there are several areas that need to be patched, Eric's been pushing for that. So we have some allotments suggested in there, about $200,000. And then we've been doing the pavement rejuvenation over the last several years. Again, that's something that try to put on. It's basically a coat that's put on the year after streets are paved, and the theory behind it is it rejuvenates the asphalt, and you get another 3 to 5 years out of the life of that product, out of the life of the asphalt, the newly paved street. So there is a substantial amount, put away for that, because we are paving quite a few streets this year. So all in all, the recommendation adds up to be slightly over $5 million. Certainly this needs to be fine-tuned when we get into the budget season. There would, again, be a package that would include MFT funding for a portion of it. I believe that's been color-coded out in orange. And then the rest of it would be the separate larger program. So a lot of additional information in the packet, including some history of paving and things such as that, and certainly Eric and I would be happy to address any questions that anybody may have.
Question? Great. Matt?
The only question that I have is the downtown portion off of Hydraulic. How much of the water main is being replaced in that same time, do we know?
Yeah, that is the brunt of our replacement program. So I believe it's $4 million worth of replacement, Matt. So several thousand feet of water main. The budget set aside for the roadway work, I believe, is $200,000 or $250,000. So the majority of it's going to be covered by the water main replacement program.
Okay.
Anything else? What do you need for this? Is this just informational right now, or
we ask you to endorse it so that we can bring forward a design engineering agreement at a future meeting?
So when it goes to City Council, mm-hmm. How do you want to handle that?
We need a positive recommendation coming out of
okay.
this committee, and then the
you
City
got
Council
that.
Will approve
we're
the plan.
All
in. So, yep.
Okay. Move on to item two. PW 2024-74, East Van Emmon Street Resurfacing Project, Phase 3 Engineering Amount.
This is the next step. Last City Council meeting, you approved EEI as the Phase 3 engineer, so this is the next logical step, is to bring this forward as to name them our engineer for this project. Again, this is an STP project for East Van Emmon repaving. So the $54,940 that is projected to be the cost of this contract, only 20% of that is ours, which is about $11,000. And we do recommend it, or I recommend it, or staff does, and I'll take any questions.
Matt, any questions on that?
Nope, good on that.
So what are you guys going to do, for consent, or we're spending $11,000? Originally, if it was $50,000, I would say we should get regular, but consent of $11,000. But on that?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on if you think the rest of the council would have any questions, which I doubt they would. I'm fine with consent if you guys are good with that.
Okay. We'll put it on consent.
We've talked about this in the past, right? It's been the plan before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, we'll put it on consent. And as long as it's in the thing, the description about it being 11,000, that's... All right, PW 2024-75, resolution authorizing the city's share of construction and construction engineering costs for the roadway improvement of East Van Hemmen Street resurfacing project.
So same project as the previous item. So this is just a standard agreement that the state enters into with the municipality when there's federal funding involved. So it's called a joint agreement. You've had these in the past. Basically just spells out the 80-20 cost split and how funds are going to be distributed and what have you. They also require a resolution to be passed. So basically it's just standard paperwork that's associated with the federal project outlining the funding.
Good, Matt?
I'm good.
And we might as well put that on consent too as well. Item four, PW 2024-76, resolution authorizing the purchase of a trackless boom flail mower from EJ Equipment Incorporated in an amount not to exceed $39,960.
We've been looking for a boom mower now for, this is going on the second year. We originally planned it for our John Deere tractor, just a traditional boom mower to mow steep ditches, to mow back, you know, tree lines that kind of creep out there, such as like Baseline Road, Pavilion, where they kind of creep right out onto the road. We could just literally put the wing up and mow them back. We could not find one that was suitable for that in our budget for our John Deere tractor. If you get like what they call a mid-mount under the middle of the tractor, they were very, very expensive, like $70,000, $80,000. Rear-mounted ones were a little cheaper, but then at a 100-horsepower tractor, it really kind of limited the size. So when we got approval of the trackless earlier this year and purchased the trackless, we noticed that they had a boom flail. The trackless is a much lower center of gravity tractor will have duals on it, so it's much more stable in the ditches. And we could still reach out 13 and a half feet. We could still mow 53 inches down on an angle into the bottom of the ditch or on the other side of the ditch. And it just creates a much safer environment for our guys being out there alongside the road. Another key note is that this was budgeted in FY24, was not spent, but did not necessarily carry over as a separate line item into 25. But in talking to Rob, there is money in that fund that we can cover this cost of $39,000.
Which machine is this?
We just got it. It's the Trackless. If you just kind of scroll down, there should be pictures of it in there.
Yeah. Okay. I was looking. Is that the one you got for like the plow for?
We got the leaf plow. We got the snow plow. We got the snow blower. And now this is just another attachment,
for that. Okay.
Yeah.
And I guess they just sat it out.
We just had it all back today. We just got it today.
How are the guys, I guess, doing it now?
By hand. Or by, you know, weed whacker on the guardrail stuff, and then, like, up on baseline, trimming the back of the trees, you set up your traffic barriers, and you just go by hand.
Good. Matt?
No question. Good with it?
I'd use these myself. The one thing I would caution, watch out for stringy roots.
Yep.
They do get caught.
Get wound up. Yeah.
And fences.
Yeah. Luckily, we went with the flail.
Yeah.
So the flail at least dings off of there, not the rotary mower that just keeps wrapping it up.
No, we'd use the flail, but yeah.
Yep.
Long stringy, it's still.
They just wrap it up.
It wraps up.
You got to bring the torch out and cut them out.
Probably should put that in the regular. Good with that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Matt, a regular?
Yep.
Okay. Item 5, TW 2024-77, resolution approving a proposal from Govic Ford Incorporated to the United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, Illinois for vehicle maintenance.
Yep, this actually is a joint contract. Garrett from the police department has been kind of spearheading this because they use Govic so much more than anybody else, but we do use them as well, and it came through Public Works last time, so we thought we'd just bring the renewal through here. We've been happy with them. They did raise their rates. There is a nice memo from Garrett in here that kind of shows what the rates were to what they are. I believe it's like a 25% increase in cost, but it is still, the hourly rate is still very reasonable compared to what you, the normal consumer pays off the streets. I believe the normal rate is $189, and we are getting it for, I got it right here, $125. So you got a good savings. We do not bring any of our group, the Group 2, the trucks over 1.5 tons. Those all go to the diesel shop, so we don't even have to worry about that. But we do bring our 1 tons and pickups over there, and we have had good luck with them. I know the PD has had good luck with them as well. This contract is only 1 year with 3 one-year options to renew, so you'll be seeing this yearly for renewal approval.
And I think I asked you about oil changes, and you said it was went to 60 now?
Yeah, 55, 260.
Just FYI. Okay with it?
I just paid for my wife's car at Bridge Street Automotive. It was $109 for oil change and tire rotation, so we're getting a good deal.
$90 for the guy that were on the south side of town, across from McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
Charged $90. Okay. Probably, what do you guys think? Should this go on regular agenda? Or?
Go to regular?
You go to regular, Matt? And any questions?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
I don't have any questions on that.
Okay. Item 6, PW 2024-78, ordinance authorizing the acquisition of certain easements for the extension of a water main, and that's Grace Community Church area. I've heard about this. So.
Yeah, this is the second easement that is necessary. So the first one was brought forth in front of the committee a couple months ago. The second one's been tidied up. Everything's been executed by the church, the property owner, and we are recommending accepting the easement.
Within the ordinance, there is a grant of one water connection for the church at some point in the future. We determine it 20 years and the value of whatever like a residential connection fee is and or a 2-inch or less commercial connection, which is what we've done historically for properties that we want to annex in the past. So
right now they're on a well?
Yes.
Okay.
That's interesting.
I guess I never realized it.
That
when
was an
you
old,
mentioned
that,
was
that
I was
farm.
Like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Rusty, any questions? Good. Matt, any questions?
No question.
I think that one probably can go on concern.
Yep.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Item 7, PW 2024-79, Countryside Parkway / Center Parkway traffic control discussion.
All right, quite a bit of information within your packets. Last spring, it was requested that we take a look at some of the intersections along this Countryside and Center Parkway, and specifically look at them from a multi-stop analysis. So we have done that, and all the detailed information, is noted in the packet, but the summary is that at Center and West Kendall, and Countryside and East Kendall, those were evaluated, and they do not meet the typical MUTCD requirements for a multi-way stop. Certainly as they are now, which is the stop signs on the side streets, that's appropriate, and we're not recommending any changes there. At Countryside Parkway and Center Parkway, the big intersection, certainly the amount of traffic could consider adding that or changing that, converting that to a multi-way stop. That does meet several of the standards, and it's something that the city could move forward with at some point in making those adjustments. That intersection, as you know, is a little bit odd. It was built a long time ago. Things don't align. The traffic certainly has increased. So certainly there's reasons to consider that. Unfortunately, you can't just throw up four stop signs and call it a day. The through lanes don't match. The pedestrian crossings would not line up where you would place the stop signs. So basically it involves kind of a reconstruction of the intersection to line everything up, to reconstruct the pedestrian crossings, to widen it slightly, to make the through lanes work. And that is detailed on page, there's a big exhibit, which would be helpful if I would have referenced that initially.
Page 20, I think.
I think it's 201.
It is definitely 20.
20-something, yeah.
201?
201, maybe, of the total PDF.
That's the alternatives.
Yeah.
Well, that's just what I'm looking at.
Yeah, exactly. So that is, that's page 201 of the PDF, but 20 of the individual packet. That would be a suggestion to, if you're going to move forward with the four-way stops, to possibly consider that. It is expensive, roughly $400,000 construction costs, but by the time you add in design engineering, soil borings, other things like that, you're pushing $500,000 plus or minus. So in the past, we had also looked at a potential other solution for this intersection, which there's a memo right behind that exhibit, starting on 202 of the entire packet, that basically outlines a couple different roundabout options as well. So those were investigated a long time ago, 2016, so 8 years on them already. We have not taken a look at the cost estimates and updated them, but we wanted to bring everything to the committee here today and just have a general discussion to collect thoughts and ideas, heading into budgeting season. If it is something that we want to look at further, then we can potentially update estimates and bring some new information back to the committee, and then we can decide how we want to handle it moving forward. So that's a very high level summary. Certainly be able to address any questions that anybody may have.
So right now the stop signs are
on which two streets? There's two stop signs, right?
East, west.
East and west, Kendall.
Countryside Parkway.
Yeah. Countryside Parkway.
Oh, there's one.
Yeah, so the north-south Center Parkway, that one goes through.
One thought I had, because, so you said that the traffic's increased a lot.
So well, it's originally designed.
Yeah, because the Countryside subdivision has a
yeah,
not any more homes or anything like that. With
right, them. But that was built in 72. So
right.
Just with the redevelopment of Countryside, and then a lot of people use that as a cut-through so they don't have to sit through 34 and 47.
It's the traffic pattern coming through there and going out to 34, that way.
Or coming from 47. So
yeah,
they don't come
both
down
ways.
To 34,
yep.
Come down and then...
Right, no, that's what I'm saying. So that it's basically kind of a right
a
turn.
Cut-through,
yeah.
Well, yeah, same thing, again, coming down 34 and avoiding
yeah.
that light cutting through.
Really, the only problem is the traffic coming from 47 going to 34. They just don't really stop at the light for the stop sign. Just so.
Right, that's what I was wondering. What happened if you put the stop signs on the other two streets and it was more, you know, that you didn't have that traffic stopping there, you had the other two stopping.
I'm sorry, I kind of
The lesser traveled streets. I mean, if this is a safety thing. If you had stop signs there, and then this was more like a, you know, a right or a left turn thing, which way you're coming.
I think after 50 years of having the east-west stop, I think you would have a tremendous amount of accidents if you tried to change it to a north-south stop.
Okay.
I think the people that have lived there, gone to church there, go there now, are so used to the way it is.
A north and a west stop would not be allowed under traffic flow. You know,
yeah,
okay.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. Because
no.
Then that would force them to yield to the if more traffic's coming that way.
Yep.
I'm not seeing here, would this also improve the lighting? Because the lighting over there is horrible.
If we were to reconstruct some, yes, we would.
If we'd reconstruct. Right now the intersection is just acres.
Yeah,
it's just so
it's
big.
Just large, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's one.
There's one right in the center island on Center Parkway.
Yeah.
Good point, for sure.
And the roundabout was in the millions, right?
It was a million.
Talked about it.
Yeah, I mean, it would probably be more, certainly, than the 400,000, no doubt about it. So, because you'd have to like throat the intersection down as well, so the reconstruction portion of it would be larger. It would be more expensive.
Or as somebody who lives in the neighborhood, and I'm not really for the four-way stop. Be interesting with the roundabout, since people don't really want to stop at the signs anyway, so that kind of
works in it.
It's also more expensive option.
Yeah.
So I'm just not sure. Lived there forever. They've never really stopped going westbound, so I don't think you're ever really going to get them to stop.
Yeah.
So.
That's a good point. Craig? Okay, it is a big chunk of money.
It is. And it's a horrible intersection.
What's the difference that we've noticed, if any, since that area has become, you know, more commercialized and we have another potential hotel going in there, another, you know, not necessarily entertainment venue, but a convention slash
banquet hall.
Banquet hall, yeah.
Thank you. Do we anticipate that? And Rusty, because you've been in that area so long, if that's continued to add additional businesses and restaurants and the movie theater reestablished, have you noticed a difference over there?
I mean, you'll see just more traffic at the other two intersections with Kendall kind of going to like Grace or even to the movie theater, but I don't know, it seems just as normal traffic there at the Center Parkway and Countryside Parkway. Just people trying to cut through. That seemed pretty steady over the years, from my observation.
I think it slows people down a little bit, speed-wise, with the businesses and all that stuff you know, because that was a, there was a time it wasn't a lot there, and then it was probably like a drag strip.
I don't think speeding's really been much of an issue.
So it's just mainly you take the stop sign.
The amount of traffic and people slow rolling there, and
it's confusing.
And now we got taking the. Remember we put the parking over there too, and there's a lot of things to consider over there by the church, and
it's just kind of weird because things don't the lanes don't line up, so that kind of
it's an oddball intersection.
Yep.
It does cause confusion.
So, I mean, that was kind of what I was like. That was kind of my thought too. Was with adding the park, are we seeing a lot more people from your neighborhood walking over to the park, going over that way, and how many near misses do we have by people rolling stops with kids riding bikes? Or
I'm guessing that the people who use the park probably use the church parking lot, right?
From what I've noticed, it's
they go
mostly people just walk to it.
Through the, do they use the church parking lot to get to it? Because that would be up front there, right?
Yeah, you can get most of the, you know, you're not crossing at the widest part of the intersection to get there. Usually they kind of do the,
kind of go
the crosswalk just by the front sign of the church. That's
right.
Like, just a short walk. So they're usually not like, you know, coming from like Grace, you know, doing that a residential part. Usually they're coming.
Usually they're walking from West Kendall or walking from Strawberry. They're
so
walking.
Yeah. Deal with the main intersection so much.
From my perspective, and Bart and Rusty, you can both back me up. We've seen it when it was busy, when it was countryside, then it was nothing, now it's busy again. But it's just, now it seems to be traffic cutting through from Route 47 to 34. Like, as Rusty said, the traffic, it's not much going on Center Parkway North, not much going on Countryside Parkway further to the west. But people getting out of that area, that's where the confusion is, because people aren't stopping from the west. If they're coming south on Center Parkway, that's where the confusion is, or coming from the church, coming east on Countryside Parkway if they're not stopping. And that traffic has increased on those both those roads. We've seen that.
And the amount of vehicles overloaded from Menards trying to avoid the intersection cutting through?
Somewhat. They use Corneals.
Any other thoughts, Matt?
No, just a kind of main question. I mean, I think something needs to be done. The question is, what is it and how effective is it going to be, right? So,
and how much is it going to cost?
Do you guys have any preference if we do decide to improve the intersection four ways, whether we do a four-way stop sign shown as drawn versus the more expensive roundabout?
I think it's something we should have a discussion with everybody.
Yeah, I do too, actually. I think I was going to suggest that this should go to full council.
Yeah.
Before we even say anything about throwing a dollar into that,
the roundabout cost estimates.
Yeah, I think definitely would make sense to do that first.
Okay. Well, we do that, and we'll take the city council.
Sure. Okay.
So one other thing, then, do we have to buy easement then to fix this intersection?
There is a tremendous amount of existing right of way there. It's a large footprint, if I recall.
What's that green piece? Is that our
center?
Right away.
Yeah.
It's just striped pavement.
Oh, okay. I thought that was.
Yeah, I think we're going to be okay, Ken. I don't think we're going to need additional right away.
Okay, because I didn't know if that was factored into it.
At one point, I thought it was close on the church side, but we were going to make it work.
Yeah. If I recall, even when we look back at the roundabout, we thought we could make it work.
I love the roundabout Fox and when you went out to
Spring Springs.
That's nice. All right, I think it should go for a
great
council.
Good. Great. So that might not be the next meeting, might be the first one in October or the second one in October. Yeah. Basically, we'll get the estimates done and we'll pick a meeting.
So we'll move forward to see future date.
Okay, item 8, PW 2024-80, Faxon Road. Construction engineering change order.
All right, so we've got the TRG settlement agreement funds coming in probably tomorrow, as an FYI. And we've already approved the change order for the actual Faxon Road work to be done. As soon as we receive those funds, we will start working. And in order to do so, we need a construction engineering agreement with the EEI in order to manage the work. So they've prepared one. It's just shy of $44,000. We're processing it as a change order on top of our existing construction engineering agreements for the Road to Better Roads and subdivision paving that we're doing currently. So money is available via the settlement funds, so we recommend approval.
Great.
With the proposal of the data centers doing Fax Road, would this kind of butt up to where they're planning to do, or would this be further down?
Close. Very close. Yeah, it's more of the eastern part of what was the Kealaka parcel.
Okay, so there's going to be a little section in between that's not going to be?
Not yet.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
The road now goes, it'll go from 30, whatever it is, 36 I believe it is, or 39. It goes down to 20 foot now. So it'll just stay that way until that comes in, and then there'll just be a little spot in front of the western part of Highlands Ridge, that I'm sure we'll be able to have them connect.
Extend it a little bit?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so the settlement funds will be used for Whispering Meadows only.
Okay.
Yeah. But then, with the future development to the west, subject to city council approval, but most likely a recommendation from staff to take care of that.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Matt?
Questions. After it's about to come down to 6 weeks from now, it'll finally be done. So I haven't stopped hearing about it since I moved in the neighborhood 13 years ago.
You sound like Joel.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say. Is Joel?
Yeah, more hair.
Is Joel with you?
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you guys think for this one? Consent? Good consent. Matt, go with consent.
Sounds good.
Okay, consent. Old business, I have none. Additional business, is there anything? Anything, Matt?
I got nothing.
Okay, then I guess we're done, and I got 6:32.